The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
13 after 7. Always happy to talk with State Representative and Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Junker. And he sent me a picture of some information being handed out by Oregon State University at the Josephine County Fair the other day. And it's so funny that he wanted to talk about this, and I didn't grasp the significance of it until I looked more deeply at it. Dwayne, it's good to have you on. Welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning.
Well, you know, I was talking to a doctor here a few minutes ago about how I'm colorblind, so I had to be really careful at looking at colors. I can see blues really well in many cases, but other colors, not so well. And I'm seeing this little, this was a sticker handed out by the Oregon State University Extension Service, and I'm looking at it, it's like, okay, Dwayne's got a problem with this. And then it took me a while to realize, oh, it's an LGBTQ sticker from the Extension Service, right?
That's correct.
And it took me a while. You know, you've gotten to the point here where there has been such an LGBT skewing of everything coming out of the Oregon State government that you almost stop seeing it unless you really start looking for it. But yet, this is what they were handing out to the kids, I guess, at the Josephine County Fair, huh? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I had a constituent reach out to me and goes, hey, did you see what they were handing out at the Master Gardeners area? And I said, no, and they sent me a picture. And I said, well, I always like to confirm things. Can I see this with my own eyes?
Yeah, no. There it is. I'll hold it up to the Facebook Live camera. I don't know if you can see it on that or not, but
yeah,
anyway.
So now I have the sticker. The sticker is pinned to my corkboard by my desk here. And then, yes, it is a rainbow sticker with, you know, fruits and stuff like that, different colors. And then it has the Oregon State University Extension Service logo on it. And I was really curious to make sure that, you know, someone didn't just make this and it wasn't. So I reached out to OSU and asked them, you know, is this your sticker? Did you guys make this? Of course, they were caught off guard that, you know, someone would question it, and you know, I kind of, they hummed and hawed, and they finally said, yes, this is our sticker, and the reason why we have this sticker is to reach out to the underserved community, the community that deserves to participate in OSU Extenders programs.
Okay, just stop it. Stop it, all right? Now, where is the evidence that somehow with the Master Gardeners program, which tends to be older folks for the most part, would that be fair to say? Most of the Master Gardeners tend to be a little bit, gray beards.
I would assume they're older folks, you know, probably okay. 50, 60, 70.
Yeah, not all, but most are, all right. Is there any evidence that somehow that the LGBTQ army somehow felt completely out of sorts because there wasn't a... I've tended to think of Master Gardeners as a third sex anyway, okay? Because they're gardeners and they do it really well. God bless them, you know? But
yeah, I really don't have anything against the, you know, people gardening.
I don't either. But is there any evidence? Is there any evidence out there, State Rep, that Master Gardeners are being turned away for being gay or lesbian or any of the other LGBTQ skewings?
I don't think there's any, you know, they have it, you know, when I questioned OSU some more, they said, well, it's part of their civil rights audit that requires them to equalize participation rates. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've asked for the records of their, you know, civil rights audit. I mean, this is, it's just, I'm sorry.
I don't recall anybody being asked about their heterosexuality when they're going into the Master Gardeners program. Do you?
No, OSU said that they're using this pride flag on all their stuff, and now I've sparked their interest, and they're like, well, we need to look into how we're using this. Of course, you need to be looking into how you're using this. This is ridiculous.
Okay, now, Dwayne, if the Oregon University, State University Extension Service feels that they have to reach out, and have the LGBTQ flag on all their stickers and things like that, all right, I want you to demand equal time, and I want you to demand an American flag sticker from the Oregon State University for all the non-communists that are left in Oregon. How about that? I'm only half kidding.
Here's a group that was, they were discriminating against 4-H people that had Christian leaders and values. They discriminated against them and said you can't wear a shirt or be a group.
Yeah.
But in turn around, they pick a gay pride sticker, which if you really look at the sticker, it has, there's two stickers really combined here. There's the 1978 sticker, and then 2018 they converted it. And you should really look at these people that made this flag. This is a flag. The first flag was 1978, and the person, this guy is Gilbert Baker. I thought a gay nation should have a flag to proclaim its own idea of power.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2018, it was redesigned by this Daniel Quasar. And he was on the Trevor Project, and he said, and the Trevor Project is a group, activist group that targets children. And he thinks
wait a minute. Really? Really? That flag?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But
remember, 4-H is. But remember, woke H is not trying to groom anybody, right? No matter what the critics might be saying through the OSU,
they are. What is someone's sexuality or who they like to have sex with need to be in farming or agriculture,
or in 4-H too, for that matter? Oh my gosh! Exactly. This is identity politics taken to the nth. But I got to tell you though. In all seriousness, and I am serious when I say this, if you're going to get to the point where the Oregon State University, under the guise of inclusion, has to have a gay Master Gardener sticker available, then they damn well better get a Muslim sticker. They damn well better get a Christian sticker. They damn well better get everything else. This idea that the only inclusion and ideology you have to worry about is the LGBTQ mob is insanity. And it's being paid for by our tax dollars. Well, I guess in Josephine County, it's not being paid anymore because they yanked it out in the, county commission. But, man.
I when people come to me and start complaining about what the commissioners did, I'm like, I think they did us a favor. They uncovered this wokeness that's being pushed on our children. They really did us a favor to re-look at what's going on with our tax dollars. And what's being the agenda that's being pushed? Other counties need to look at this and say, "Hey, is this what we stand for? Is this really inclusiveness?" I would say no. You just outline.
All right. Okay. Now, since you are a state representative, though, could you go to Oregon State University and get them to come up with? We need a heterosexual Master Gardener sticker. It needs to be for the colors of heterosexuality. Something really boring like beige. Can you get a beige sticker for us here? Can you do that? Because I know it's not cool. You see, we're not cool. Heterosexuals aren't cool. Gays are, and LGBTQ is. So get us a beige sticker for the Master Gardeners, okay? You got to have a flag, too. We got to have a flag, too. Got to do it,
We have a flag in America. It's the United States. It's American flag.
No, that's boring flag. That's a non-inclusive flag, though. You know, we all have to be divided by our sexual proclivities, who we want to have sex with. That's it. I'm being sarcastic. You do realize that, right?
I know you are.
Okay.
That's important to know what someone sleeps with. And you should have to talk to your children about this. Like, mommy and daddy, what's all these colors mean? Well, that person likes to have sex with this person and that person. And it means, come on. That's what I need to have. That's inclusiveness.
Yeah. But remember, the Josephine County Commission was bad for kicking these clowns out of county government. The OSU Extension Service. They were the bad guys, okay? It's not OSU deciding to do everything except just delivering Master Gardener. There's nothing about being a Master Gardener that anybody needs to know anything about your sexual proclivities or your identity. I mean, it's not exactly like drag queens were thrown out of the Master Gardeners. Is there any evidence of that having happened in the past? I don't know. Maybe there was.
I think it was a gardening club. What has gardening got to do with someone's sexuality?
And I would imagine most of the gardeners would think the same way. Why are we even going here? It's stupid. But it's also divisiveness. But it's but there's a serious aspect to this, though, Dwayne. It's about sowing divisiveness. And this is where I was going back with even the problems with our public library system, which are just ideologically hard left identity politics, slicing and dicing people up instead of just providing book services and information services to people here in Southern Oregon. They have to be their little ideological mosques at taxpayer expense. And Oregon State University Extension Service is obviously no different than the rest of what is going on there. What say you?
You know, this is just to scratch the surface of what happens in Oregon. You know, this is going everywhere from, you know, handing out loans to, you know, newcomers. It is spending taxpayer dollars on things that are so divisive that do not serve the greater good of our state, our country. They are continue to divide us. They care more about their agenda than the overwhelm of all of us as people, citizens of this country. That is their agenda. And people need to wake up. This is not what we should be standing for. And I don't understand why Christians can be attacked, but if you attacked a Muslim, people, I think that you even talked about this on your radio station maybe, why aren't people standing up when they attack Christian people?
Yeah, well, because the Christians won't stand up, the Muslims will cut your head off under the right circumstance. Sorry, that's just when you look overseas at what has gone on in some cases, okay? Let's be honest. Now, I'm not saying that's happening here, but still, that's why. That's why. They feel, the hard left feels perfectly comfortable at attacking Christianity. They feel perfectly good about that, because they don't think that anything's going to come back and bite them. Well, I think something should come back and bite them. Their money needs to go away, because nothing makes a progressive hurt more than having their budget broken, okay? That's really where it needs to go here.
I would agree. We need to look into and defund these things. And it needs, I think Josephine County and our county commissioners are just uncovering just the smallest things that are starting, and we're like, and people don't like that change. And I think that's what the recall is all about here, is the change. And I look at the person that the head petitioner of this recall on John West, and looking at, here's a person, the head petitioner says she's a Christian person, but she says defunding OSU was bad. But was it really bad? No.
What do you think Josephine County taxpayers are okay with spending $400,000 or $500,000 a year siphoned out of their pockets so they can put out gay master gardener stickers at the Josephine County Fairground? Do you think that's what that levy was all about? That tax levy?
It was for children. It was for children to participate in farming, gardening, horticulture, whatever it was. That's what it was not. It wasn't to discriminate against nobody. Not to make anybody feel not included. This is a divisive thing. It needs to be defunded. That's all we need to do, and keep it to that. I mean, I think the Master Gardeners could start their own little program, and it'd probably be better than the one it was before, and cheaper.
Oh, I would agree with that. And you're not going to have someone trying to shove sexual proclivity stickers or, you know, agenda stickers, you know, on you. That's just stupid. But, you know, the thing is, though, is that you have to understand, though, that when you're in a revolution, this is part of it. It's the symbolism. Old symbols need to be broken down, which is why you can't have Joe's Place. You can't have the cross on the 4-H thing. But you could have I'll bet you could have had the pride flag on your 4-H shirt and no one would have said anything over at OSU. Fair enough. I'll bet you.
I would say that because, you know, that would be they're trying to include others. I didn't know that Christianity didn't include people. I didn't know that in my reading it didn't include. Now it does talk about sin, but our country was built on Christianity. It really was.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments. We look at these things now, not to say everybody's a Christian, but the foundation was built on Christianity. So how bad is Christianity?
But you see, that's what needs to be destroyed. That is what needs to be destroyed, because it is one of the foundations of this country. And that's why the hard ideologues in the OSU, in various other aspects of state government, that's why they feel perfectly fine with kicking Joe's Place out of 4-H. You know, you can't have that because, my gosh, there's a cross there. but then we're going to make you salute the flag of these groups that we wish to make politically powerful. And that's our bottom line here. I'm glad you brought it up. I was wondering why you wanted to talk about it. And it finally dawned on me right before we came on. Oh, it's a pride flag. Okay. I'm going to have to start looking at this stuff. I'm starting to ignore it now because it's everywhere. You know, it's pride flag on your, pride flag on your cottage cheese at the grocery store. There's a pride flag on your yogurt. There's a pride flag on the car license, I guess. I guess that'll be coming next, but all right.
Yeah. I will look forward to the next. I'll make sure I know if I send anything, if it's colorblind or colored.
Yeah.
That I explain more to you.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't see it. It doesn't jump out at me, but thank you for sharing that, State Rep Yunker. I really appreciate that. Okay. All right.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Said he wanted to talk about the sticker. I said, okay, why does Dwayne want to talk about the sticker? And it took me looking at the flag and then, oh, it's a pride. Okay. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Your tax dollars hard at work. Yes, because we know that you can't be a master gardener in Southern Oregon unless you have the pride flag shoved in your face. Because otherwise we know that people who have pride in their sexual proclivities just don't feel welcome at master gardeners. What morons? Well, not morons, really. You know, what this is that it's about the agenda. It's about destroying the old so you can bring in the new people in charge, I guess, is the way they're looking at it. Oregon State University. There we go. Shut it all down, folks. Take away their money. This is the Bill Meyer Show, KMED and KBXG. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. This is Tom.
Tom.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Christians. I'm doing fine.
Good.
I just want to talk about Christianity and Muslims. You know, Christianity was very violent in the beginning. They hung not just Jesus on the cross, but many others. They drove women to drown in the sea for being witches and so forth. And there's a great book called The Conquest of Paradise of how abusive the Catholic Church was in America, particularly in South America. So, but Christianity has evolved since then, but I think the Muslims are still stuck in the 7th century, and that's where the big conflict has come from. Christianity has evolved.
But the one thing I will say for the Muslims, though, they really believe it, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're very sincere, but like I said, the road to hell is paved with sincerity. Or,
of course, you know, yeah.
Good intentions and so forth. I think Christianity is strong on some things it should be weak on and weak on things it should be strong on. And, you know, I think of abortion and intolerance and so forth and so on. I mean, Christianity does lack a certain strength about standing up for what's right and just. And that is a real problem here in this country because we're literally allowing murder to be committed and all kinds of things that should not be tolerated.
Excellent call, and thank you for making that, Tom. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
I just wanted to support the discussion about OSU. They act as an agency of the state, and the Extension Service in the past is... They conducted 39 outdoor schools for the program Outdoor School for All. And they use common measurement systems is what they do in order to find out just what kind of proclivity they do have. And then they gather all this data and they do reports to the state. And one of the reports, they hand out student surveys to the students. And they're to indicate their identity, like, quote, I'm quoting, I don't know yet, boy, girl, trans, non-binary.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those surveys. They put the whole laundry list out there for choice, right. For picking and choosing. Right.
Well, on their report, they list as one of their references for doing the report, the National Equity Project. It's a flagrant Marxist operation because they assert their, quote, legacy to fight for our collective freedom with their fist in the air kind of thing, you know. So if an agency of the state I think there's 5 lifelong learning universities that are acting as agencies of the state in Oregon. They're all going to be pushing this kind of thing on their students.
Yeah, and it is up to us to push back. You know, or else Christians and heterosexuals and all the other things, you're going to have to demand your identity too. I'm sorry,
right.
You know, if that's really the goal to impose, everybody has to have their identity. All right, you're going to have your gay flag. Well, then you better have your Christian flag. Damn, you better all have your heterosexual beige flag. In fact, I think beige would probably be a good heterosexual flag, right? Nice and boring.
Right.
Right.
Beige. You're going to add it on, like on your ID. You know, you can go in the back and you see all these little dots. You know, all
yeah.
in a little rectangle. And I mean, they know more about you than your mama knows. You know.
Yeah, but still, the fact of the matter is that this is Marxism. And it is being forced down our throats by the agency of the state relationship, which the state legislature stupidly did. Of course, I think not stupidly. I mean, to me, it's stupidly to them. They're looking at this as the agenda. You know, as soon as they made the state university an agency of the state, then leftist academia ends up being the policy being forced into every aspect of their dealing. Thank you very much for that, Diana. Appreciate that. I'll grab one more here before news. Hi there. Who's this? Welcome.
Hello. It's Cherry.
Cherry, how you doing? What's on your mind, huh?
I'm doing great. This is going to be so light. You're going to float away.
Okay. Well, I want your vote first off. Heterosexual beige flag. What do you think? A beige flag?
How about eunuch?
Eunuch?
I'm...
Oh, okay. All right. No, I'm serious. I mean, we need to find out. And because obviously, you know, if you're going to have the gay flag shoved into everybody's face and everything under the guise of inclusion, well, heterosexuals have to fight back. And, you know, because they need everybody, if the state of Oregon is going to interact with me, they need to recognize who I am as a heterosexual breeder. Okay. You know, I need my own sticker and flag. And so it has to be beige, but what should be part of it? It has to be more than just beige. What else should be on it? Huh?
I think baked ribs.
Baked ribs. All right. All right. Now, where did you want to take this, though? Go ahead. All right.
I'm not a breeder. I'm an eater.
Oh.
So I just have to plug this restaurant, which is just incredible, called the Sweet Tea Express. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I've never tasted such great, you know, barbecue platters and burgers. And I mean, they're just unbelievable.
Well, that's really great, though. But, you know, the thing is, though, is that we don't normally plug people unless they pay us money. Okay?
Uh-oh. I know. I'm sorry. But I have an issue with one restaurant, which they are racist because it says hobo scramble. It should be unhoused scramble.
I'm giving you a real American salute for that. Hobo scramble. That's insensitive to the unhoused community. You make me laugh.
I mean, really?
Yeah, you make me laugh. You really do here, Cherry. Thanks.
Rhonda talks about her experience with Clouser Drilling.
Kevin came right out. The thing that really stood out to me, we could see the years of experience in the quality of their work. And that just showed us what great communication that they have. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend Clouser Well Drilling. They were great to work with.
Clouser Drilling has the experience and the equipment to handle the most challenging conditions. Visit ClouserDrilling.com. That's ClouserDrilling.com.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A massive thunderstorm moved through the Pacific Northwest Saturday between 8 a.m. Saturday and 8 a.m. Sunday. The Northwest Coordination Center logged 3,379 lightning strikes in Oregon. The storm brought rain to the western portion of Oregon. Some areas saw more than an inch. Heavy winds along with hail hit the Rogue Valley area with power outages and wind damage. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs will award $16 million in grants to help homeless and at-risk vets in Oregon. An additional $10 million will be spent in the region on two other programs that help connect vets with transitional housing and other services. Oregon's population has been shrinking, particularly in the Portland area, with most of those people being the highest earners. Eco Northwest says Multnomah County has the highest marginal tax rates in the nation. That and a perceived lack of services for the tax money paid are driving the exodus. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Life's busy and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
The delicious options seem endless at Freddy's Diner.
Okay, here she comes. No hesitation now. I'll go with a sandwich.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I'm going with the Pastrami Swiss Bacon Club, please.
Excellent. Fresh cut fries, battered fries, sweet potato fries, tater tots, onion rings, JoJo's, or a green salad.
Oh, boy. Would you repeat that?
Tune in next time as our intrepid diner grapples with a dipping sauce.
Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
20 before 8, Jay Bieber joins me. He's the Executive Director of Policy at the National Motors Association, National Motorist, rather, Association. Jay, welcome back to the program. And there's a good reason why I wanted to invite you on here, besides the fact that that one of your reps ended up reaching out to me and said, you know, it's been a while since I talked with Jay, and we like talking about transportation issues. I was going in downtown. But first off, welcome, Jay. Good to have you on.
Hello, sir. Pleasure to be back. Thanks so much.
Now then, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on here is to find out if the stupidity of downtown Medford is just something which is specific to the stupidity of the traffic planners of the city of Medford, or if there is a greater anti-movement going on out there. And because I couldn't help but notice that my email box is filling up more and more with irritation of people getting dinged with $165 plus tickets for speeding through the downtown Medford area because they changed the speed limit to 20 miles per hour. And I'm trying to, you know, just imagine that, you know, downtown Medford, just a regular place, you know, 3-4 lanes across. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you're going is a school zone, you know, in essence. And Is Medford just being stupid, or is everybody else kind of getting in line and being stupid too? What do you say?
Well, everybody's being stupid, but actually, quite frankly, I don't think that it's stupidity. It's all part of a larger thing, which is that they want to lower speed limits. They want cars to go slower, just so you can't get around using your car as well. And so they're using school zones as a means to make driving more difficult.
Oh, now, they didn't declare it a school zone downtown. That's not what they're doing. I think I want to make sure you understand. They just changed the speed limit to match what a school zone does. Right. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Okay? See?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. You're right. Well, they're doing both of those things. Okay. So,
okay.
But I think what you're talking about is this idiotic idea called 20 is plenty, which is started out in Europe, as all brilliant ideas do, and then metastasized to the United States. But this is, again, all part of this idea that cars, you know, shouldn't go more than 20 miles an hour. This is what's happening all over the country, but I think Oregon is leading the way. But what they found was that even though they changed the speed limit to 20 miles an hour, the actual speeds of cars on the roadways didn't change because people don't drive the nature that what the number is on the sign. They drive the nature of the roadway. They drive the way the roadway is built. So a roadway has a certain design speed. It has an operational speed, and it has a speed limit. Well, the design speed is usually the highest, which is, you know, this is what the roadway is designed for. So nobody gets into any crashes. There's the operational speed, which is the speed that when you throw a bunch of people out on the road, this is what they naturally congregate at. That's because of the built environment that people are driving in. And then there's the speed limit, which is usually, in the case of Oregon, completely arbitrary, and they slap a number on the sign, and then they ticket people for doing exactly what they built the road to do.
Okay, yeah, because they didn't build the downtown roads to do 20 miles per hour or 15 or whatever the case might be, right? They were constructed in order to be able to move people and commerce smoothly. Now, I'm not saying that I would want or that I think it would be reasonable to have a 55 mile per hour downtown zone, right? You know, I don't think anyone's talking about that. You understand this. But I do find it fascinating that states and cities that are always talking about, but we want more tourism downtown. We want more tourism downtown. But tourism to them means go and take a bus to downtown or put your car into a parking prison, because we certainly can't have them parking on the street, because that would be way too convenient. And if it's convenient, more people will want to come. But yet if people were to come, then they wouldn't be whining about the lack of people coming to downtown. So, you know, it almost seems like we have two agendas that are working at cross purposes with one another here, Jay. Yes, it seems that way.
Yeah. It is, because, you know, there's this schizophrenia going on with these policies. On the one hand, they say they want tourism. They want, you know, they want economic activity. On the other hand, we just don't want that if you have to use your car. But of course, the car is the greatest driver of economic prosperity and activity that we've had invented in the history of the world. So this idea that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can have a robust, thriving area with a lot of commerce, and you can also do that without any cars, is ridiculous, because that's just not the way the areas are built in the United States. You know, maybe Manhattan, you can do that because it is built, you know, it's you know, a couple of miles across and everything is built out. You've got all this transit, and you've got subways, and you've got things crisscrossing the city. But even then, there's still a lot of cars in Manhattan, right? Like, Manhattan is like the epitome of, hey, this is where you can use transit, and you still have the entire city jammed with cars, because cars are a necessary part of everything that people do. You just can't get around without cars. And so this idea that somehow we'll make a city car-free or car-less or car-light is ridiculous, no matter what kind of draconian policies they want to try to impose on people. Not to mention the fact that these 20-mile-an-hour zones are they love them because people will get a lot of tickets, so that way they can just simply penalize you for getting your car and driving somewhere.
Okay, and yet then they wonder why people write me that say, I never want to go into downtown Medford again. Because, you know, I'm just going at a natural flow of traffic of 20. I mean, it's been 25 miles per hour, I think, forever. In fact, I think it was 30 up to a certain point to many approaches. And that's just it. What you're getting at here, and by the way, Jay Bieber is the executive director of policy at the National Motorist Association. What's your website again, Jay? I know it's pretty natural.
It's motorists. Yeah, it's motorists.org. So motorists is plural. .com. Motorists. .com. This whole thing about 20 miles an hour, they've done studies on this everywhere. Simply lowering the speed limit does absolutely nothing in terms of safety, and it does absolutely nothing in terms of actually having cars go slower. You have to change the built environment if you want that. Now, I'm not saying that you should build every road in your city so people only go 20 miles an hour, because that's entirely not necessary. But if you have a particular place, maybe it's a downtown shopping area or whatever, you know, a couple of blocks long or whatever, and 20 miles an hour would be appropriate for that, then you have to build the road for that. You can't build a road for 35 miles an hour and expect people to go 20 miles an hour.
But is this why, Jay, why they have, I've noticed that cities seem to have been going to the neat, keen trend of putting bump outs, in which they take the sidewalks and they extend them like right up on the intersections to where the traffic goes, right? That kind of thing. Is that what that's all about? Is that part of it?
It's all part of it. I mean, so the theoretical idea of the bump outs is that it's somehow dangerous if you make a right turn. And so they want you to do that slowly, so that bump out, you know, so you don't have like a wide sweeping right turn. You have to have like a very sharp right turn. So you have to slow down to like, you know, 5 or 10 miles an hour to actually make that turn. But then, of course, that also makes it hard for the through traffic as well. So it slows everything down for that purpose. But yeah, that would be sort of an engineering thing. They call traffic calming, and you know, that's the euphemism for the calm traffic. And so basically it's the idea to slow everything down and make it more difficult to use your car.
Are there federal grants that are coming out to make cities be stupid in anti-transportation? Yeah.
Absolutely. In the infrastructure bill, there's a whole bunch of grants that are available. The most recent, what they call bipartisan infrastructure bill. There were a whole bunch of things in there for this thing called Vision Zero. And this is, again, all part of it. This is the ridiculous idea that nobody will ever die in a traffic accident ever again. But of course, every city that has implemented Vision Zero, they've actually seen fatalities and injuries go up.
Really?
Because these are boneheaded ideas. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, how does Vision Zero ostensibly done to eliminate traffic accidents, you know, from our areas? How do they end up exacerbating the problem? I really like to know about this, Jay.
Yeah, because what happens is they like to mix traffic, so they encourage people. They put in bike lanes where they don't belong. They put, they create these zones where they think people are going to be pedestrians more often, and so they encourage that. There's a natural flow of traffic, and once you start monkeying with that, and you start saying, well, you know what, we're going to make this an area for pedestrians and bicyclists because that's what we wanted people to do. Well, now you're throwing people into these areas where there's a lot of car traffic and a lot of car movement. So you're increasing the exposure to pedestrians and bicyclists. So that's what we're seeing. And there's almost a direct correlation. It's part of another thing in engineering called complete streets, like that it's complete for everybody. And so this is like equity for streets, right? So it's basically socialism for roadways. And so what they're doing is they're saying, well, you know, pedestrians and bicyclists, we want them there too, and we want to make, you know, they have a right to the streets. So when you mix, you know, high speed traffic and cars, and you mix pedestrians and bicyclists, and you put them all together, and you don't do the right infrastructure, then what happens is you make it more dangerous for the pedestrians and bicyclists.
Yeah, that seems to be a penchant that the city of Medford and Ashland, for that matter, is very big on, you know, putting the bike lanes that are completely, you know, insane. They do this insane. They put the bollards up. Everything about it is totally unnatural about the way traffic flows. And they put these things up. And this guy somehow that the main drags, well, my gosh, you know, they have to have bicycle lanes within them. When it comes right down to it is that you have lower impact streets that parallel these roads that would be much better candidates for having bike lanes because they, you know, there would be less conflict. And why doesn't that ever seem to come into the mix of, you know, you don't want to get the bicycles where you have the trucks and the cars and everything else going and just have them moving smoothly.
Right. Well, that used to be the way traffic engineering was done. But unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of these woke people that came out of colleges in the last decade or two that are now getting into the engineering profession. And they've all been given this mantra that that everything has to be equitable. There has to be equity on the streets. So that means that, no, you can't have a roadway that's just for cars, that's elitist for cars. So you have to put, you know, those bicyclists and those pedestrians on those into the roadway. And so because they're entitled to have their space too. And so this idea is not, you know, is safety goes out the window when you start talking about these kinds of ideas because they don't make any sense. But they make people feel good because they're now making the roads equitable.
Yeah, they're making the roads equitable and absolutely, well, people don't want to go there. So I guess that's maybe right. that's what they mean by equitable. We'll make sure and mix all the traffic together there so that it's a big mess so people just avoid the city. Maybe that's really what they want.
Yeah, they don't want people. It's again part of this. We talked about this last time. This is all part of this whole thing that cars are bad. So we don't want people using cars. And actually, we don't want people being people and having human activity because that's destroying the planet. So humans and human activity for the planet is bad. And cars are sort of the most biggest boogeyman for now, which is, you know, if we could just get rid of all the cars, the planet would be a utopia. The city would be a utopia. So, yeah, they simply don't want you actually having an impact on the planet or an impact on the area that you live in, so you should stay home.
Is there any evidence that ultimately these plans will actually get to the point where we don't want you just leaving your neighborhood too, for that matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's this thing called 15-minute cities, which is this idea that everything that you need or you want, what they think you want and need, by the way, not what you think you want and need, but what they think you want and need, it will be within a 15-minute walk or bicycle ride or transit ride from your home. Everybody should live in a dense city. You know, no more suburbia, no more, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, that 15-minute city conflict or concept is called climate-friendly equitable community in the state of Oregon, okay?
That's the euphemism for that, right? Exactly. Because 15-minute city's got a bad rap right out of the box. So, you know, first they say, well, you know, that's a conspiracy theory. That's not what's happening. And then they change the name so you don't see that that's what they're actually doing. So, so just to finish the thought so these 15-minute cities, the idea is that, you know, you will never go anywhere more than 15 minutes outside of your area and what they determine. And so, and you'll theoretically have, you know, what you need, but that means you'll have one of whatever that is. So you'll have, you know, one restaurant, one cleaners, one, you know, whatever, because you can't get enough choice within 15 minutes of a city using bicycles or transit or walking. Mm-hmm. So that just is more about limiting choice. You would, you know, there will be a favored whatever to be in that 15-minute area. So this is what will the eventual outcome would be. But they will characterize it as something beautiful and wonderful, which is, oh, you know, you'll have everything you need. You won't need to go anywhere. But
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Right? You'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the World Economic Forum, and on their website, you know, there's a document that says we're going to reduce car usage by 75%. So this is not some giant conspiracy theory that's what they want. That they're out there saying it, reduce car usage across the planet by 75%. Of course, this hurts the poorest people out there. This is the thing. Again, the people that they claim they want to help are the people that they're going to hurt the most, because the best thing you can do for somebody who's in poverty is to get them a car, which gives them more access to jobs and education and other things that they need to do in their lives that they don't have as much access to. And there's no way you could ever build out enough transit to make that equal in terms of the access that you have with a personal automobile to go where you want, when you want, how you want.
Jay Bieber is the executive director of policy at the National Motorists Association. And you're looking for people to join, right? And because you're fighting back against this woke transportation policy. And what do you believe is the most effective way to respond to these intrusions? Because like I said, Medford's doing it. Ashland's doing it. Grants Pass to a lesser extent. You know, here in Southern Oregon, Grants Pass seems to have a very successful downtown with wide streets and wide sidewalks and they seem to work just fine with that. Mm-hmm. And and Medford seems to be focused on, we're going to make you miserable coming down here, but you're going to want to come down here for everything. You know, we're going to shut the streets down and do Brewfest. In fact, with the Vision 2040 transportation plan surveys that they're out there, everything's about almost how many streets do you want us to be shutting down for festivals on the weekend? You know, how often would you come down here? And something tells me we're not the only city that is going down this path.
It's the same in across the country, especially, again, you know, like, you know, I hate to characterize this as, you know, a left-right divide or something like that, but unfortunately, this is sort of coming more from the folks that are more concerned about that the environment and, you know, people shouldn't have an impact on the planet. It's, you know, it's the same thing we saw in the 70s and the 80s. You know, it's nothing really new that you shouldn't have, you know, that, mm-hmm. that, you know, the other population bomb and all of that nonsense. It's just part and parcel of the same kind of ideology that human beings and their activities are bad for the planet. Of course, you're going to have an impact on the planet, but that's the purpose of living life and human beings. Otherwise, you have to eliminate human beings, which is what they would like to do, except not eliminating them. but when you
well, because they're good humans. The people that don't want to live like them are bad humans, right? That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
All right.
No question about that.
All right. Let's grab a couple of calls here before we take off. I just appreciate you. You know, we need to talk with you more often. I talk with Eric Peters every week, and I know that he's good buddies.
Oh, yeah.
That you and Eric are. Yeah. We're on the same page of many things. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. You're on with Jay Bieber. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, it's Steve in Medford.
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
I was at the growers market, and they're handing out these pamphlets saying Medford Open Street Survey.
Yes, that's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to – I clicked on a thing, and it's one of those where they give you choices of the things that you want, and they're going to use that to justify spending money, I suppose.
Yeah, now, I contributed to that study. Thank you for that, Steve. Now, by the way, that's what I was talking about, Jay, in which they have the survey out there right now. The survey and my response to the survey was that, wait a minute, this is all predetermined outcome. The only options that they are giving us this open street survey, is how they're going to shut down the streets to regular traffic. That's it. That's all they've talked about in here. And this is how it begins, right?
That's what they want. I mean, look, we all know how this works. This is not a surprise. If you want something, whether it's a poll or whatever, you can have the outcome come out the way you want simply by the way you ask the questions or what options you give people. And it's like, oh, look, 89% of the people wanted us to, you know, remove the, you know, these car lanes.
So the Medford City Council needs put on notice then that their open street survey is a fraud from the start because it's a predetermined outcome, right?
Right, exactly. But here's the thing. You can fight back against this. Now, look, I don't know what the demographic makeup is, Medford. I have something of an idea. But there are rational people out there, and if those rational people get together, you know, whether it's under the umbrella or of the National Motorist Association, we can certainly help with this. But just, if you know, you create a local group and get people together and show up at city council meetings, call the city council people, call the mayor, make it known. Once they start hearing back from people, some of these policies will either change or get slowed down. And this is what happened in Culver City, California. During the pandemic, they have three lanes on Culver Boulevard that go right through the business district in Culver City. This is right outside of part of the LA area. And they took away two of those three lanes in each direction, one for a bike lane, one for a transit lane, and then left one car lane. And things got so bad that people showed up to city council meetings with torches and pitchforks, and they eventually had to roll that back. So it is possible because if people get upset enough, and that's you just have to let the elected people know that you're going to vote them out of office and then actually do it.
Let me go to the next line here. Jay Bieber's with me, and he's from the National Motorist Association. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, it's Carol Ann out in Applegate. How are you guys?
Fine, Carol Ann. What's on your mind?
Well, yesterday I had the distinct, I'll use the word pleasure, of visiting a family member who works in Ashland. And she works on Ashland Avenue. And if you haven't been there lately, they have new things on the roads there. They have a lane that's pea green on either side. It's for bicyclists. And then they have these white sticks that people, my relative said, the white sticks keep getting run over.
Yeah, the bollards.
Down.
Yeah, the bollards. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy. And she said no one really even pays attention. The people that live in Ashland, I don't know, want to say they're all stoned all the time, but it was just really crazy, and I wanted to share that.
All right. Thank you for sharing it, too. Wow. Let me go to next line. You're with Jay Bieber. Hello. Who's this? Morning.
This is Jim in Medford. How you doing?
Doing fine, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to know, so they want to give up so much of this roadway to pedestrians and bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
When the heck are they going to start giving us our taxes back on our? They keep charging us for driving on the road.
Jay, that's pretty rain. Funny. Yeah. Isn't that funny what that caller is saying here, Jay?
Yeah. Well, because look, isn't this exactly what the government does? It takes your money and then tells you it's making your life better by using your money for things that you don't want them to do. That's the hallmark of government. This is what they do. They tax you, and there is this whole mantra from the folks who ride bicycles and are pedestrians, and most of the time this is a lifestyle choice. This is we're not talking about people who don't have the funds to have this, like the poor folks in society. They actually want a car. So there's a difference between what we call car free and car less. So someone who's carless, they would like to have a car, they just can't afford one, whereas people that are car free have made this lifestyle choice, which they want to foist upon everybody, and then they want to use your taxes and your money, which you pay for the streets, to impose all these things on you. So it's going on everywhere.
Jay, how much does it cost to join the National Motorist Association?
It's the cost of a tank of gas. It's $42, maybe half a tank of gas in California.
Because I would like to join this, and I want to start a local chapter here. I really do. Because so much
Absolutely.
Of the garbage that gets foisted upon the gangrene from the gangrene folks here, it, the downtown speed limits, the downtown bollards, and everything else like this, it's all coming through a lot of grant stream funding and predetermined outcome. And, you know, we need to be in these people's face because the city of Medford is conducting a fraudulent survey, as far as I'm concerned right now, in which the predetermined outcome is, you know, how much of this anti-car are you going to get good and hard? It's just a matter of degree is really all this is. I'm not saying that every single road has to be completely car. I get that. But there is no sense to how this is being done. And the only thing it's going to take is people getting involved and getting in the face of these city councilors. I don't know how else to do it. I think
absolutely.
It's the only way.
And well, with someone like you leading the charge, look, you have a bully pulpit there, so you can help get people together and drive people. You know, the National Motors Association can help with tools and things that we have on our website and show you how to do stuff and explain the best ways to go about this stuff. We'd love to have you. We'd love to work on it with you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to join. I'm hoping a lot of other people join, and I'm going to get in touch with you, and I'm going to get your toolkit.
Yep.
All right. Because the stupidity is getting deeper and broader. It's not going away. I think some of this at first was under the guise of, if we just do a little bit of this traffic equity. But no, they want it all. They want it all.
Of course they do.
They really do. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Jay Bieber, once again, it is motorists.org. Actually, it says motorists.org, but is it motorists.com?
Yeah. It's motorists. Yeah, you can actually get there both ways.
Yeah, I guess you have it all linked together, but I'll put the link up there. It's just motorist.org, motorist.com, one way or the other. We're going to take care of you, and we'll be back in touch. All right, Jay? Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Okay.
Thank you.